Thanks, worship team. I'd like to now invite Matt Coombs to come up, who's going to teach us today. Okay, I just want to pray for Matt before he gets going.
Cheers, that'd be good.
Holy Spirit, come and just be in this room with us today. I just pray for Matt here as he just brings your word and your truth to us, and that we are all just here with clear minds and all those things that we've kind of got in our mind going, oh, I should be doing this, I should be thinking about this, that you just clear all of that for us so that we can just completely concentrate on your word and the message that you've asked Matt to share with us today. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Fee. Well, I've been given just the best topic ever this morning. The real gospel, lives changed by Jesus. And when I was first given this, I thought, it really doesn't get any better than that. That's kind of right up my street. And then as I started preparing, I thought, you know what? Actually, it does get a little bit better than that. There is something a bit more. Just one small tweak. Can we have the next slide? The real gospel, lives being changed by Jesus. It's a small tweak, but a massive difference, because I have this real conviction that it's not all happened yet. For anyone in this room, are we open to being changed by God? Jesus gave this brilliant picture of the different ways people received him and his kingdom with a parable of the sower. And it's that time of year for it, isn't it? Is there people doing gardening, sowing things? I've seen things on the share group, seedlings, all this kind of thing. So I thought I should actually get this little bit of soil at the side of my driveway sorted out. So I've been very generous throwing grass seed on there. And some of it, unfortunately, went on the driveway, as you can see there, I realized afterwards. Then I'd realized that I'd actually not cleared all the weeds either before I started putting the grass seed down. And then I also noted there's this stony patch there, which I'm not sure how well the grass seed in the stony patch is going to do. But then there's some good soil. We'll see. Hopefully it's going to grow and I'm going to have an amazing crop of grass there. And Jesus used pretty much this picture. He was saying that some people are like the seeds that land on the driveway. I think that's what he said. And they hear the message, but they don't get hold of it, and quickly it's gone. He said some are like people who are seeds sown in the weedy patch, where their faith is choked by everything that goes on around us, the things that overwhelm us. Other seeds are like that gravelly soil, who initially respond with enthusiasm, but don't manage to sink those really deep roots, and then they struggle or give up when things get tough. When Jesus told this parable about the gospel being generously scattered to everyone, available to all, he didn't actually have in mind kind of a nice story that people could tell to Sunday schools in years to come. He was talking to a community who depended on good crops. They farmed to eat. There was a seriousness to this image, not just a beauty. So the very real question this morning is, are you ready to be changed by me, to be rooted in good soil, to keep growing, even through the drought, to stay rooted and to multiply? I sense God wants for some of us to lovingly and clearly point to a specific part of our lives where change would be good for us to keep growing. His best for us that will give him more space in our lives. So I've prayerfully prepared today with that in mind. Could I ask you to be open to the Holy Spirit and ready for him to show you what it is, and then give you that desire to say a simple, "Yes, Lord, I trust you." My sense is that God wants to do some things in us that we've wanted and he's wanted for some time, and that today is the day. So are you ready? Open. George, you ready? Alan, ready? Heather, ready? I completely included myself. Am I ready to trust God this morning? Let's go. Let's trust him. If you're familiar with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four books of the Bible that are a record of Jesus' life, they're full of encounters with Jesus, seeds of good news being sown into the lives of people he loved so much. And then you see their differing responses that he received. So sticking with my adapted theme for the morning, I want to get hold of how Jesus both changes lives in a moment, sometimes dramatically, but how that was never meant to be it. Job done. But whether that seed was sown like 5 minutes ago, this morning might have been the first time you've heard something like this, or 50 years ago, or even longer than that, Jesus still wants to bring multiplication of the good news through you and through me. So if there's a small part of you thinking you're now done for the morning, you know the message, heard it before, for some accountability, I want to be really honest to say, Good Friday, I'm going to cry straight away, excuse me, Good Friday this year, reading through the account of Jesus' death and the last days leading to his death, it completely breaks me because I'm reminded I can be so swayed towards complacency. It's so easy to kind of feel like, well, I think I'm doing all right. God's done with me in some ways. I need to hear this message again and ask the question myself, am I ready for my life to be changed by Jesus? So with so many Jesus encounters to choose from in the Bible, I wanted to look at an account of a whole life that's well-lived, someone who demonstrates ongoing change. So we're going to be diving into the life of the Apostle John, someone who was incredibly changed through his encounter with Jesus. Known as the disciple Jesus loved, John went from this fiery, ambitious fisherman to being an anchor of the early church. Paul describes him as an esteemed pillar. His writings on love and truth continue to inspire us today. His journey shows how Jesus can take our flaws, redirect our passions, and use us for his gospel. We're going to look at John's transformation through three phases, his early life, his time with Jesus, and his lasting legacy. So thinking about John's early life, before meeting Jesus, John was a young fisherman from Galilee, quite possibly a teenager. There's a thought, isn't it? A young person, a teenager, working with his brother James alongside their dad. The Bible gives us a vivid picture of what his personality was like through the nickname that Jesus gave him and James. That'd be great, wouldn't it, for Jesus to give you a nickname. I love that thought. Sons of Thunder. This suggests a bold, perhaps kind of impulsive and fiery temperament. We get to see this in Luke when John and James, offended by a Samaritan village rejecting Jesus, he asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire on them from heaven to destroy them? This wasn't just a kind of zeal. It was a prideful anger, a desire to wield power rather than show mercy. John also showed ambition, but not the healthy kind. In Mark, he and James asked Jesus for the highest seats of honor in his kingdom, really getting under the skin of the other disciples. You can imagine being there thinking, what are you talking about? His request revealed a self-centered focus, a desire for status over serving. At this stage, John was passionate but misguided, zealous but lacking humility. He was what we'd probably describe as a rough diamond, full of potential but needing refinement. Now, not everything about John's character is going to relate to all of us, but that probably does resonate with some of us. Some of us having passion or ambition, but needing direction to put them into the right places. Jesus saw John's heart and chose him, knowing change was possible. It's good, isn't it? I'm sorry, I love that. Holding myself together. I thought that John looks at our heart. Jesus looks at our heart, chooses us, knowing that change is possible. So change through Jesus' ministry. John's life began to change the moment Jesus called him by the Sea of Galilee. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He left his nets immediately. Those words are probably familiar. Let's hold that thought for a moment. This young person, ready to put down everything they know, their confidence, where their confidence is, their family business, their security, because he's seen something in Jesus he trusted and felt was more valuable. And massive though that moment was, it wasn't the end. It's just the beginning. Over the next 3 years, walking with Jesus profoundly reshaped his character. I wanted to share a video this morning of a life massively changed by Jesus, which is part of the Alpha Film series. I'm going to give you kind of 2 minutes of it. You don't get the whole thing, but it's a really powerful story. I'll give you a minute for you. I'll tell you what, Caroline, do you want to come up first? Because Alpha, we were thinking the other day how Alpha isn't a course. Sometimes you hear people say the Alpha course, and it isn't really a course. It's actually a time when people's lives are changed by Jesus. And I'm just going to ask Caroline to share something that's been happening in the current Alpha time together, and what's been going on about lives changed. Is that all right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Headline, you've got a bunch of people, managers at Tesco. You're going to get to know these guys because God has drawn them in. Who yesterday, when they're about to leave the office with all the people coming in and out, people coming in out of the office, and they say, why are you guys going early? Because we're going to church club. That's their answer to people. So everybody around the Tesco staff, like all of our managers are leaving because they're going to the Holy Spirit Day to find out more about Jesus.
That was just what moved me so deeply. It was such a big deal for my friend to, in a room full of senior managers, to say, I'm going to church club tonight. And last night also another lady that was there gave her heart to Jesus and asked to be baptized.
Okay, if you don't give a round of applause, I am resigning. I'm serious.
And which is why I haven't stopped crying.
Here's the kicker. These two ladies, right, who before they'd come had been talking about what Jesus did in their life, made a little announcement at the end of the third video. I mean, there was so much of the Holy Spirit around, wasn't there?
It's incredible.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
But here's this, and this completely knocked both of us off our chairs, didn't it?
I know, we were like, did we just hear that?
Where did that just come from?
Yeah, amazing, completely amazing.
The announcement was?
That they want to get baptized together.
So these two ladies, senior managers in Tesco, saying, look, we've made a decision, we want to get baptized. Because what God's doing in our lives.
Just incredible, yeah. I'm so sorry for all the tears.
Never apologize for tears at all. Brilliant. Okay, that's good, isn't it? God is good. God is still changing people's lives today. We're excited for Alpha. The next one's starting in September. That's not just a kind of light plug. Guys, God's changing people's lives. So get excited about it. Who can you invite to the next one? John was a good listener. He grew up to be one of Jesus' three most trusted friends alongside Peter and James. They were there in some of the moments others didn't get to be a part of. I always feel a little bit jealous just reading those stories, thinking, what must it have been like watching these three guys go off together and then thinking, oh, what was it like to be those closest friends? John got to be there for the transfiguration where Jesus divine glory was revealed. It's just one example. These moments deepened John's understanding of who Jesus was, not only a teacher, but the Son of God. Hearing Jesus talk about God's kingdom, like at the Sermon on the Mount, must have impacted John. Can you imagine him sitting there among the crowd, one of his closest friends, hearing Jesus emphasizing humility, mercy, love for your enemies, John intently listening, being moved, an awakening in him that challenged any tendency toward pride. Jesus didn't let John's flaws slide. After the Samaritan village incident, you might remember it, when John was eager to see fire and punishment, Jesus turned and rebuked him and James. This must have been humbling for John, opening his eyes to see that true passion aligns with God's heart for his people to encounter the transforming power of his love. Similarly, when John and James looked for glory, Jesus responded, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." These moments were chisels shaping John's character. Keep that image in mind, a sculptor who lovingly sees what we can be and shapes us. We don't have to try and cover up our flaws or be proud and imagine that we don't have any. Jesus does know them already, but bringing them to him openly can be a real struggle, but it's worth it. He knows what can change when we sometimes really don't know. Moving closer, John's closeness to Jesus is evident in his title, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loved. At the Last Supper, the final meal Jesus shared with his friends before going to the cross, John leaned on Jesus' chest, a sign of trust and affection. Through precious time spent with Jesus, John's heart has been softened, replacing his impulsiveness with devotion. It's been fantastic getting some time with Caroline this week as she started in her role as our kids and families team leader. She's someone whose love for Jesus is really inspiring. And we were talking about the different people and teams we meet with. And I loved that she said she doesn't want to talk to anyone about Jesus without having spent time with him first. Spoke to me. Sometimes we can jump into things, can't we? Think it's okay. And actually, have we listened to Jesus first? Time with Jesus is as precious now as it was for John. At the cross, that's where most disciples fled. John stood faithfully, and Jesus entrusted his mother, Mary, to his care. I'm not sure Jesus would have done this with the person he first met. The trust Jesus shows to John and the responsibility he gives him demonstrates John's growing maturity. Let's be honest for a moment. What does God want to trust you with? Here's the more weighty question. What needs to change in order for you to be trustworthy? I'm guessing even as I've asked that question, there's probably something you already knew. Encourage you. Let that desire to be trustworthy be greater than any sense of shame or disappointment in yourself, questioning whether or not you can do it. Your desire to be trusted by God is greater than any of those things. At the tomb, John's faith was solidified after the resurrection. It was John that outran Peter to get there. This man who has changed so much, not running out of ambition anymore, but running out of adoration. He later recognizes the risen Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. And these encounters stir a complete confidence that he goes on to share Christ's victory over death confidently with others. John's lasting legacy. After Jesus' ascension, John emerged as a leader in the early church. He preached alongside Peter in Jerusalem, and he later settled in Ephesus. Here it was that he ministered and wrote from heartfelt experience about the difference God's love continues to make in this world. There's some good writers in our church, isn't there? I love the thought of a John Taylor sitting down saying, "This is the difference God makes in my life." It's John who wrote, not John Taylor, the Apostle John who wrote, "We love because he first loved us." Again, words we get familiar with, but when you sit and enjoy them for a minute, "We love because he first loved us." Words that are still 100% relevant today. John was later exiled to an island called Patmos under the Emperor Domitian because of his faith. And it's there that he wrote the visionary book of Revelation. Even in exile, John's faith remained unshaken, producing a work of hope that promises Christ's ultimate victory. I love how he finishes with a passionate response to Christ's promised return, saying, "Amen, yes, come Lord Jesus." Ah, yes, come Lord Jesus. Completely, when you read it, it resonates. Come Lord Jesus. Saint Jerome, an early Christian theologian, he talked about John in his old age, and he wrote this. He said his disciples could barely carry him to church, and he could not muster the voice. Oh, going again. He could not muster the voice to speak many words. He usually said nothing but, "Little children, love one another." I was reading that. I thought, I wonder what I'll be remembered for. What will you be remembered for? The changes that you make today, they are going to shape your legacy, the things you're remembered for. Finally, John's writings, they reflect his transformation. Theologians in the room will know there's some debate where the Bibles where the Bible books in John's name were all written by him. But I always, when I read, I can't help but to lean with those that agree they're all his, because of this flow of the words of a life changed by love for Jesus. John's gospel emphasizes Jesus' divinity, his understanding of Jesus as God, with profound statements like, "In the beginning was the Word." It's a deeply theological book showing John's matured understanding of Christ. In 1 John, he writes, "God is love." Again, words we're used to, but actually so profound when you stop and think what they say. And he urges believers to love one another. This fiery disciple who once sought to destroy a village now champions love as the hallmark of faith. John's life shows this complete turnaround from a son of thunder to the apostle of love. This passion, once destructive, became a force for building God's kingdom. His ambition, once self-serving, was channeled to serve others. His legacy teaches us that no one is beyond change when surrendered to Jesus. Jesus meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. I think we can all relate to John. Like him, we definitely have flaws, whether it's pride, anger, selfish ambition, you can name it. But Jesus calls us to follow him, to be shaped by his love and truth. The changes in John's life, they really didn't happen overnight. It was a journey of walking with Jesus, learning from his example and being prepared to be shaped by a craftsman's chisel. So, back to the question, what about you? Where do you want to let God, the most creative, caring craftsman who loves you so much, bring the chisel to shape you? Not to leave you feeling guilty or ashamed, but to lovingly take off the edges, to bring more beauty, to look at you and say, "I've seen this, let me change it." Yeah, so I'm just giving a bit of space. That's fine. Just take a minute, hold that thought. Forget about me for a second and just focus on what Jesus is saying to you this morning. What's that thing that you would love to change? For some of us, that it's going to be something you've wanted to hide or to deny it. Just to say you're amongst a whole bunch of people this morning who completely need God's grace. And I encourage you to bring that thing to Jesus, to trust him with it. For others, you might have a passion and an energy we talked about, but it feels empty because it's not being shaped by God. I want to encourage you this morning, bring it to Jesus. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you that you came to seek and save the lost. I want to completely trust you again today. Please, you bring the change that would make me most like you. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. It's a good word, isn't it? It's a challenging word. What is it that the Lord wants to change in us that we'd be kind of worthy of his trust? And I'm going to leave that with you and trust that God has spoken to you. Go in peace, and may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.